Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, it's just the usuals. It's me, Brian, and Gina. It's nice. Take some calls. Good conversations. I'll tell you a harrowing story about being in Chicago and street thugs. And it's a whole interesting, I think you'll find it interesting. That's coming in a few minutes. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Sports keep coming back, and so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive partner, betonline.ag. MLB is back. NFL camps have reopened or opened. NBA's in full swing now, plus UFC, boxing, NASCAR. It's all back too. No shortage of ways to get in on the action. Visit betonline.ag. Do it today. Get you can check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget, sign up and take advantage of the welcome back sports bonuses that they're handing out over there. BetOnline.ag. So get in on the action, man. UFC's got some big fights coming up. You can go to BetOnline.ag. It's our exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget, promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Do it today. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
Coming to Live by Live Thursday, July 30th, Darius Rucker's Darius and Friends virtual concert benefiting St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Catch an exclusive one-time-only performance by Darius Rucker live from the Grand Ole Opry stage, featuring guest appearances by Clint Black and Tracy Lawrence. All proceeds from the show benefit St. Jude, so get your tickets today at livexlive.com/Darius and tune in July 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern only on Live by Live.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Cousin Sal joins Dave Damashek and Adam for good sports. And now, not fragile, but definitely white, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. You get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. All right. Well, it's just us today. Our guest dropped, but we prepped his birthday cocktail party. And
I watched his movie.
And you watched his movie. So I thought it would be... I thought it'd be good. I can't even think of who dropped. Who dropped Max Pata? Oh, Scott Atkins. Yeah, that's right. We will. So at least we have that. We have some of my audio book and some Dawson's Gone audio book as well.
Can I just say this because I can't stop thinking about it, and it's something that I'm sure Brian's aware of. I don't remember ever hearing of it, and I watched a movie last night that I can't stop thinking about. Am I the only one who saw District 9 from, 10 years ago?
Yeah. You're late to the party, Gina.
I can't stop thinking about it. It's amazing.
That's the alien movie?
Yeah. Yeah. In Johannesburg, so
that's got a lot of political messages. The aliens come down to Johannesburg and they're sort of treated like second class citizens. A lot of apartheid themes.
It's very like old school Twilight Zone, you know, when you think you're talking about the aliens, but who knows what you're really. But it's a fantastic movie.
It's very good. Put the director on the map, and Charlton Copley, who was the main actor.
Yeah, he's great. He's like a Christian Bale type. If he comes,
and he's got a lot of range. He was the bad guy in Elysium, which is the same director. You know,
Andy said we're watching that next.
it's okay. It's a good one.
Okay. I just wanted to see if I was so late to this party.
Little, but it's been out, but not everyone saw it, so they should go see it. And.
It's great.
I can't watch Elysium because Elysium was the name of the nudist camp that my grandmother wanted me to go to when I was like 25.
That explains so much of the plot.
they're like, they got volleyball there. I like when they list things at a nudist camp. They got bumper pool. They got volleyball. They have a barbecue. It's like, oh, where could you possibly find those things other than a nudist camp? You're right. I haven't had barbecue in 41 years because I'm never willing to stand naked with other guys. By the way, nude in a barbecue doesn't sound awesome.
No.
To me, I don't like. I don't like hot grills, and I certainly don't like flare ups around the nads.
Yeah.
So she was always pitching. Go to Elysium. Elysium was in Topanga Canyon. By the way, do you guys remember when things that were places that were 16 miles away from you felt exotic because of your parents' pile of shit car and how much complaining they would do? Like, oh, that's in Topanga Canyon. We can't go there.
If I want to go to Raging Waters, like the water park by me, like it's probably 16, 18 miles away. Oh, that was it. That required planning, like 6 months of planning.
I was just talking to Cranston, Brian Cranston, who, as we're doing this, is at the other shop, and he's laying down a bunch of stuff for our Mad Magazine documentary. And he is one of the few guys that grew up in the deep San Fernando Valley. Like, he's from here. His parents are from, you know, his mom is like, they're like Chatsworth, like the corner of the valley. And the corner of the valley, now the way the valley is, look at it as, let's just look at it as the lid of a shoebox.
And apt comparison.
Yeah, but with a little less culture than the lid of a shoebox. But put the lid of the shoebox down in front of you, put your hand on the bottom right-hand corner. That corner sort of leads into Hollywood, and that's where you kind of have your studio cities and your Toluca Lakes and stuff. Go to the back rail, the far away rail, and then slide to the left, and that's where you get the Chatsworths and the Canoga Parks of the world.
The Pacoimas.
That's not what you want. That's not what you want. And although it's not what you want now, back then there were just, you know, apricot orchards and stuff back then. Literally, Krantz would tell me, ride a horse. Like from place to place, you know, Spahn Ranch, you know, out there, that's just in the ass corner of the valley. But we were, you know, it's funny. I don't get, I'm not into that 818 stuff or the 310 or whatever. But whenever I see Cranston, he's always like, you are the old school valley dude. And we can start talking about stuff that we kind of remember from back in the day. And we started talking about. He was talking about the coronavirus and all the kids and being kind of freaked out, kind of taking that with them. And he said, you know, when we were kids, we just get on our bikes and just head out. And I was like, we'd go to the Sepulveda Basin. The Sepulveda Basin is where they had like a flood control area out here. This is a big, weird damn thing that they used to film a lot of car commercials and stuff in front of. And also things like they have movies that movies. Yeah, they'd have. Well, that was like, yeah, that was in the actual that was in the Los Angeles River, which used to be the cement river. But they'd film movies like, I don't know, Escape from New L.A. and stuff like that. It was this weird futuristic kind of dam they had over there. Anyway, the other side of it was just swamp. And you just mush around in the swamp, like try to catch dragonflies or just all day, just mush around. No hydration, no bottled anything, no snacks, no prepackaged anything, no sunblock, no radio, no earbuds, no nothing. Just trance about in that area.
Here now.
And it is interesting. So as we're sort of sliding into this thought, I said, I was thinking, you know, I've said a million times, no better time to be poor. And everyone always thinks I'm kidding, but I'm really not there. I started thinking about TV sets, and I was thinking about my, Zenith, black and white 13 inch Zenith that I had to watch when I was a little kid. But the TV technology from the time I was a little kid watching the 13 inch Zenith TV to the time when I was graduating high school, it was a slightly bigger version of the 13-inch I was watching as a kid. There wasn't anything. There was nothing going on other than it was a little bit bigger. It's kind of whatever happened to muffins happened to TVs. Muffins used to be like a regular size. Like muffins used to be a baseball size, and then they started ballooning up into grapefruit size. But whatever the trajectory of the muffin was, that's what my TV was. And I realized, my kids were born, they have the 4K, they got the computer stuff, they got all these different networks out there. And then also, I've seen commercials for like 85-inch flat panel TVs for like $4.99.
Yeah, you can get a very serviceable, good flat screen TV these days with like all the smart TV with Roku and everything and stream all your shows for a very affordable price, shockingly affordable.
So I said to Max Pat, and I don't know if we found any of those big 90 inches or 85 inches, nothing under 500. What's the cheapest 85 incher you can find out there? Is that what you're looking for, or what are you looking for?
Well, I was looking for 90s, but I'll find a cheap
80. All right, just a big one, whatever. What was a Sony Trinitron from like 1975 color?
$729.95.
For that's a 17 incher?
Yes.
What was the adjusted inflation value of that?
$3,497.75.
You had to be actual royalty to afford that set.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when, like, having a big screen. Like, you knew one or two people who had big screen,
right.
And they made it. Like, they were rich.
And Brian, I don't know if this is what you're referring to, but the big screen with the red light. Green,
yeah, the projector, right. Front projection.
Yeah,
we
my
had
friend,
one friend like that.
My friend Tom had that. My only black friend was my only rich friend, so I'm all screwed up. But of course, people would break into your house because this thing was the size of a toaster oven. It was worth $3,000. Of course, they'd rip it out of your house. All right, Max Bata, biggest, cheapest TV. You can do it any size you want. You go to Costco or
Walmart
yeah. or something.
Okay,
that's a Walmart.
Costco. There's a 75-incher. It's $550.
Not bad. I still think you can go lower, at least from
these
commercials
absurd.
I see. But it's nuts how big and how fast and how cheap and how, you know, once something doesn't have moving parts, the price can just keep dropping. I'm old enough to remember when guys with digital watches were a big deal. And then they went from super expensive, a digital watch where you had to like push a button to get the display to light up, to essentially free when you fill up with a tank of gas.
Yeah.
So speaking of mechanical, I am prepping my race car to take it out to Laguna Seca to do our big race coming up in a week or so. And there's something super satisfying about the prep. I don't know. I think it's my mechanical gene. And it's also, I love guys that know shit, which is, my car that I'm racing has open stacks. It has an open velocity stacks. There is no air filter on it. Okay. It's just open trumpets, they would probably call it. Max Pat, you can probably get a picture of this from DeAndre or Sean or something of the engine of that car, but it's just open. And you don't want open per se. Open makes the most horsepower. But also, it's a little dangerous if you get off the track or there's some dust or something, it sucks something into it, a pebble or something, it'll ruin your engine or shorten the life of your engine. So the reason everyone runs air filters in your car, it's kind of the same reason you're wearing a mask today. Like, it's easier with no mask, but you might suck something in or push something out.
If you're going top speed on a racetrack with nothing but pebbles and dust, how does that work?
Some guys will do it and just kind of hope they don't get off. If you get off the track, it's a big cloud of gravel and dust. Or if someone gets off the track in front of you, you're also a vacuum cleaner, just sucking up tons of cubic oxygen of air. But anyway, I said, well, we got to do something. We got to protect this. I can't just run open stack. So my guy, Sean, just put a fine screen mesh into the stack, just a stainless steel fine mesh, like a screen that would be in the bottom of a calendar, or some sifter sieve or something like that. Or a tea, one of those teacups. As a matter of fact, some guys use those like teacups strainers on their stacks. Anyway, somehow the guy who built the race car saw it and he's like, you don't want to do that. And like, why not? It's like that screen at high RPM, at like maximum high RPM, thins out the air. You don't get the volume. It's cut. It's cut into 30% or so. It just does. And when you thin when you cut the volume of the air, it leans out the car. The fuel-to-air mixture gets off, and you're not going to have what you want at the top end of the rev range. It'll idle fine. You can rev it. You can do whatever. But once you get way up at 8,000 RPM, it's going to drag. It's going to lean out the fuel. It's going to fuck up with the mixture. And so I'm like, thank you. Thank you, guy who knows everything about Datsun 510 engines. And then I went and had to go lay it on Sean, who's a pretty proud guy. And he's like, well, I don't know about that. I'm like, hey, sorry, man. That's what this guy says. And he builds these cars all day long. So the beautiful screen that you sculpted, pull it all off and let's get a foam. You can get these high volume like foam air filters on there. But it is, get the seat, get the height of the seat, get the harnesses in thing, pack everything, get everything in the trailer, all the backup shit you need, all the tools, all the batteries, all the gauges, all the stuff you need for cleaning and lifting and working and the extra set of brake pads and extra this. And this process of like going, once you get to the track, you're on your own. So if you didn't bring it, you don't have it. Mm-hmm. And did you bring your zip ties? Did you bring the duct tape? Did you bring
I was just going to say zip ties and a hanger.
Do you have the kind of cleaner that works on plastic so you can do the plastic mask on the helmet and then the stuff that's good for glass so you can do the windshield of the car, whatever that stuff is. It's super satisfying to me. It's just satisfying. And then as it gets closer, it's like, Sean's like, I'm going to start the car up today and we're going to get it up to temperature and blah, blah, blah. Of course, the worst part is Cranston's in the back of the shop filming and Nate tells Sean and my other guy, like, you guys got to be quiet. You can't do any work when we got Cranston here, but they're still on the clock.
Sure.
So it drives me insane. On the other hand, it's Cranston and it's my doc, so what are you going to do?
You know what they should do, though I'm sure they have already? Make a master checklist. Anything they could possibly think of, throw up on a whiteboard or something. Mm. Check it off as you go.
It's funny. The guys that are good are just good. They have – first thing they have is a clock, and it's not a digital clock. It's an analog clock because out in the sunlight, the digital kind of goes away. They have just an analog clock with a battery in it, and it's right on like their trailer. And then they have the run groups and all the run times, and it's just taped right next to it. And then their group is highlighted. That's the first thing like all the good guys do because they want to know when their group is going and so on and so forth. It's a good exercise in general. So we were kind of talking about yesterday, just that structure and that organization. All right. So I was digressing there. We have Dawson's got a dad trumpet mashup that I don't even know about other than what I just said.
Yeah. Well, you heard last week, a few days ago, Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac passed away.
Mm-hmm.
The original, the founder of Fleetwood Mac. And
wait a minute. If he's the founder, why isn't it Fleetwood Green?
Because I hear he was a very selfless guy.
Mm.
Modest. Well, isn't that where the Mac came from, that they had to offer McVie something in the title so he would take the job? That's where the Mac comes in?
That I do not know. What I do know.
McVie's a girl, right?
Well, there's Christine.
There's John McVie as well.
John.
Oh, John's player. Yeah. Screw that dude.
Yeah, when they were the Blues Breakers, they had a song called Fleetwood Mac being short for McVie.
Hmm. All right. Well, there you go. All right. So, sorry, Dawson.
So, we all know Peter Green strongly from I Don't Care About the Shape I'm In, I Can't Sing, I Ain't Pretty, and My Legs Are Thin.
Right, right.
That one.
Don't ask me what I think of you.
Exactly. Not
all right.
So, but what is less known, and probably one of the greatest pieces of instrumental magic ever recorded, is a song from the early Fleetwood Mac called Albatross. Hmm. And I just thought that as tribute, it'd be great if Pops Corolla jammed along with Mr. Peter Green and the Fleetwood Mac.
I'm all ears. It's always funny.
What is it, Dick?
Albatross.
well together.
It kind of works, I was
about
to say.
I was going to say, one of them's going to be missed.
Here they are trading licks.
When my dad dies, people are going to be confused. They're going to be like, Jim Carolla's dead. And they're going to go, he was alive?
Anyway, rest in peace, Peter Green. Check out the song Albatross from the original Fleetwood Mac.
A fine tribute.
Peter, thank you, Dawson. Peter is also a fine actor who is featured, I think, in The Mask and maybe Judgment Night, the movie I was in. He always played the heavy, right?
Yep, also in Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah. Always just played. There's only a handful of white blonde guys that can really pull off the super heavy.
The menacing.
Yeah, yeah, but he did it. God bless him.
As silly as The Mask is a like an above average movie. That's a fun movie.
Completely agree. It's one you should watch with your kids at a certain point.
I thought you were talking about Mask, about Rocky Dennis, played by Eric Stoltz.
Don't watch that with your kids. Sure. But there is one flaw that movies like The Mask always have, and many movies have, which is you have the beautiful young ingenue who's just sweet as the day is long and great, and she's hooked up with the bloodthirsty mobster. She's hooked up with the worst guy in the world, and they're like, I need to win you away from the worst man in the world because you're the most beautiful, best person in the world. But the reality, the real version of that woman who's hooked up with Scarface circa 1994, that ain't a good chick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a chick with a lot. There's a reason why that chick is with the drug kingpin.
That put Cameron Diaz on the map.
That did. Mike, 38, Virginia.
Hey, Ace Man, how you doing?
What's going on? You have a pandemic-themed rich man, poor man?
Yeah, some pandemic-themed rich man, poor man.
I'm all ears.
Right on. So the first one I thought of was received a check from the government.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. It's good. But there's some middle-class people getting some of that, too.
Yeah, that's true. Other one I had was skipping meals.
Like you're poor...
Like Jack Dorsey on his three-day fast, the CEO of Twitter, or he just can't afford to eat.
Yeah, that guy.
Exactly, or guys are too busy, working too hard, or maybe doing intermittent fasting on some weird, crazy diet.
That guy does, the cold water plunges and everything. I'm going to shit on this one as well, because poor people in general are now fatter than rich people in our society. The food is so fucking cheap and so abundant. Now, I mean, you see like Jack in the Box commercials. It's like you get a mini box of mini tacos with 14 mm-hmm. mini tacos in it for 89 cents. Like the stuff is so God, which you could go down to Wiener Schnitzel and get three chili dogs and a large fry for under $5 now. Like, it's insane. Those Sonic commercials. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, what's terrifying, if you think about it, all these companies are making money. Mm. They're turning a profit on these ridiculously cheap food. How much must it cost them?
The insane thing is, I look at it all the time. Like, you sold a box with 9 mini tacos in it for $1.19 and you're turning a profit. You have real estate, you have employees, you have insurance, you have OSHA and all the other fulfillments and everything, and the person that prints the box and the truck that takes it, and somehow you're still making money. Yes, that what's in that box must be scary. But yes, poor people, for the first time in not this nation's history, in the world's history, certainly, and obviously less in the third world, but... the first time in recorded history, poor people passed rich people on the scale.
Literally.
That has to be true now. Does it not? Like, I mean, when you guys just travel around, does it seem that way?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, we all have seen portraits and pictures hanging in the museum. All the rich people were fat. That's how you knew they were rich. Mm-hmm. And those days are long gone because, like you said, not only is the food abundant, the processed food, the yummy food, the salty food is abundant. And it's killing us.
Your sign of wealth used to be, you know, you're chubby or you're Rubenesque or whatever. You were well fed. Now it's, I can afford a Peloton or I can afford a personal trainer. You know what I mean? That's the sign of wealth.
You know, I was saying to someone the other day, maybe I was talking to Dr. Drew, you know, our sort of government approach to it, which is like, we're going to limit the soft drinks to 16 ounces or something like that, when people just buy two 12-ouncers and drink those or whatever it is. Like, this sort of, people are going to, at some point, have to get really educated in this department. Right. There's no amount of regulation that's going to stop people from getting their hands on this shit and getting fat. And there's no way to do it from the sort of the outside in. It's an inside out thing. Like, people are going to have to fucking start focusing here. Yes, Gina.
Well, let me pose this to you. I can't find the story. I had it in front of me for a while. I might have gotten rid of it. But something I was going to bring up at some point was, they are thinking about a sugar tax. Now, these sin taxes, you know, maybe they, you know, if you're a smoker, you're going to spend $12 on a carton of cigarettes, you know, but they're thinking about doing a sugar tax, and that it's worked in other countries when you just go, meh, not worth it. Too expensive now to get a pack of M&Ms or whatever. What do you think of that kind of regulation? Because I know in general, you're not a fan.
If you raise the price of something enough, it's going to cut back, you know, even gasoline, you know, and we all need gasoline. But when we're going through a gas crisis in the 70s, OPEC embargo or whatever was going on, people did a little less driving and a little more kind of carpooling. And, you know, you can push people that direction. If water becomes super, super duper expensive, people start putting in like synthetic lawns and a percentage of people to do that. By the way, can we make a rule? I just got back from Texas and I'm going back there again. When we were driving to the airport, I'm going to circle back to this, Gina. But in Texas, gallons of gas start with the number one. So like it's 166 per gallon. Here, ours starts with three. And all I want to do is make a rule that says there can't be a number in between Texas and us in terms of that first digit. Let's just make a rule that if we're going to start with three, Texas has to start. They got to go with 201 or $2 a gallon. Then we'll do 389 or whatever it is. But if they're going to do a state or two over, and they're going like they start with a one, we should start with a two. It still would suck with us, but we should start with a two. No, we start with a three. It's such a crazy tax on the people. Look, to us, it sucks, but it's not brutal. To all the guys who work for me, who drive trucks, who have to, one day they're in Canoga Park, the next day they're out in Malibu working, and the next day they're downtown. Like, they're traveling around, they got their truck, they're all driving full-size trucks. That's a big chunk for them. Oh, yeah. It'd be nice if we could work on that. But anyway, gas is expensive as shit. It doesn't stop people from driving. You don't need sugar. You want sugar, and you do kind of need that. I believe it would make some difference, but, you know, you'd really have to make it a high price point. Like, you couldn't go pack of peanut M&Ms goes from 89 cents to $2. That more than double people would still buy the M&Ms. And at some point, we just got to get people are going to have to learn to regulate themselves.
Well, see, this is something that I don't mean to be naive, but I was shocked by it. I was at the Old Faithful grocery store over here by my house, and there was a woman with a 2 or 3 year old sitting in the front of the basket, and she had two baskets full of like a case of Snickers each. So maybe, I don't know, 24 Snickers, 50 Snickers, whatever, in each box. And she was carrying them out, and her toddler had those like metal caps and metal cavity stuff like all over their mouth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When they're the metal ones.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Are we talking about braces?
We had a neighbor kid growing up who had those, and he was like maybe 4 or 5.
And they're very cheap. They're like if your kid has cavities, like fillings, like silver metal fillings, but they also go around.
The cap. Yeah, sorry, and I got you. I didn't know people had that in the modern era.
Well, Well, at the grocery store, I was behind.
You're not at the Gelson's or the Whole Foods.
No. I said my grocery store.
You're at the John's. Yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Now
I got it.
A woman who's maybe a little stout, carrying two giant boxes of Snickers, and her little baby already has fillings.
Yeah.
So what's to be done? You know.
I don't know what's to be done. I had this picture in my head also at the supermarket because people aren't educated. It would seem so easy to get them this information. Now, what they do with it, who knows? But I don't think most people have the info. They don't know what we know and what Vinny knows. And like I told you, at my supermarket, the nice supermarket, Gina, without all the little people who are ten times
supermarket.
Without the little people,
you can't get pig's feet at your supermarket.
True, without the little people who are now big. There was a very big white woman who worked there, and she was going on her break. And I've told you guys this story before, but clearly she was going out to the parking lot to do some shame eating. You know, and she kind of had she had a couple of candy bars, and the candy bars, she was kind of put them on the thing, or she was kind of doing it. I saw her sort of slipping it into the bag real quick and kind of keeping it out of the way, but had a big fresh pressed, like a 16-ounce orange juice. Right. And that she put out like a beacon. So that she was like, hey, everybody, look at me. Fat person eating healthy. Put that right out there. The candy bars were hidden. Obviously, Vinny would tell you this big fat woman is eating her candy bars, but thinks she's going to somehow even the playing field a little when she has this fresh press big thing of OJ. And Vinny would tell you that you're just flooding your liver with sugar with that with that big thing. So she
glycemic load.
She thinks she's doing the right thing with that. I mean, how much bigger she's going to get going to the parking lot every day at noon and having her Mounds bar versus washing it down with that huge OJ, it's just gonna compound her interest.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I think it starts with little kids because we always say, you know, oh well, you know, fruit. It's good for you, and sure, and it is, and they're gonna burn it off. And the one we have here is always running around crazy. But I get all these ads on Facebook and stuff like how to make healthy snacks for your kids, and it's frozen blueberries, then milk and orange juice, and blend it up, and they love it. And so when he saw me looking at that on the computer, and he begged for it, I said, yeah, we can have that for dessert. We can do a dessert night, but that's not breakfast. Juice and frozen blueberries?
Everyone, that sort of natural or sweetened with dates or whatever it is, everyone really gets caught up in it, and it's been around for a long time, hence things like Carob when I was a kid. But look, if it's really sweet and it tastes good, the sugar's coming from somewhere, and it's either coming from a sugar cane or it's coming from a date or it's coming from a berry. And yeah, I'd rather have my kids eat the date sweetened or the whatever, but it's a marginal difference. Mike August, by the way, hit the Smoothie King up when we were in Texas last week. Max Banna.
On brand.
Yeah, nearly had to run over a center divider to get there. He just saw it on the way on the left. I said, hey, a Smoothie King. And just like it's an instant reaction, just torques the wheel left.
Mike has found a new level of dangerous on the highway, which is we usually hop in these rental cars, and they're just these little pea shooter rental cars. In Texas, he got a full-size Ram, a Dodge Ram truck.
Yeah.
And he's like, I feel like I could drive over anything in this thing. And sure enough, he's going over center dividers. When we went to the airport to return it, we went over the curb, and we went over the sidewalk. And he used to drive with a certain amount of impunity. Anyone who's been to Europe with him knows he drives hard and likes to let everyone know that we're two for two
back
and
world war champs.
But he's in a Dodge truck now, and he's just going over the top of everything. And he went to the Smoothie King, and I said to him, what'd you get at the Smoothie King? He's like, $5 Friday. If someone would just open a Smoothie King near Mike's house, I can't guarantee that you'd be printing money, but I can guarantee you would keep the lights on. I can guarantee that you would never go out of business.
Yeah, he got the pineapple mango smoothie.
Oh God. The worst one you could possibly get.
Tastes good.
The exotic fruit one.
Hey Mike from Virginia, do you have any more pandemic themed rich man, poor man?
Yeah, I do. And I'll say I got gas for $1.91 a gallon today at Costco here. So that felt pretty good. I grew up in SoCal, so I know the pain. I remember when it was $5.55 a gallon in like 05, 06.
Yeah.
It got really high at a certain point. It's still...
A couple of my buddies had like their own pool cleaning services down in Orange County, and they were getting their ass kicked.
Well, obviously, hold on. It kicks the shit out of poor people, but also like rich people can kind of work from home or work from their computer, or like trade. They can be a day trader or something like that. When you don't have money, you get in your fucking truck or car every day. You have to drive to work. And oftentimes, if your work is in like Westwood or Century City or Beverly Hills or somewhere nice, you live in Pacoima or Simi Valley or something. Like, you got to truck it in. Like, if a lot of these sort of middle class people in SoCal, if you want to own a home, you can't afford $2.7 million in Studio City. You have to go to Simi Valley or some, you know, Lancaster, Newhall, or Saugus, or something, where there's a new housing development. You can get a nice house for $741,000. And the person's like, okay, but I work in Westwood. I have to drive in every fucking morning because I want to own a house. At these prices, it kicks the shit out of that person, out of that group. Again, people that are wealthy or even well off, it's a gas, it's fine. Also, a lot of them may be driving a Prius or some version or more expensive hybrid car. Sorry. Anyway. Oh, Mike, did he hang up now?
Fuck. Oh, no.
I felt bad because he had one more going.
Here's one that I'm sure we've done before, but this for some reason was going around online. Speaking two languages.
That is a good rich man, poor man. It's not a real middle class thing. Although
you're either in immersion school or your parents don't speak English.
My Natalia announced she was taking Spanish as her elective, where Sonny is taking acting. By the way, he likes acting. He likes improv. He likes that. What elective, by the way? I don't think anyone's going back to school anytime. Not in California. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Natalia can probably pull off her elective. What is he going to do? Zoom monologues, which I need recorded, by the way.
I do not know. Maybe I'll get a little soliloquy from Our Town or something like that.
Share this with me.
Every expert I hear says kids are pretty much good with this pandemic, and it's tough to have kids spread it to adults. Also kind of hard. And also kids are suffering. Every expert says they need to open the schools left and right. It must be the unions. Like, I don't know what the big whoop is. Get the fucking kids back in school. Figure it out. If we're figuring it out, we're figuring out Trader Joe's, then fucking figure out school. I think everyone's getting used to staying home and getting paid.
Well, and that's the thing. Are we kind of in agreement at this point that we all sort of know kids are not super spreaders and they don't seem to have bad side effects, but the teachers and the adults don't want to be back in the school together? It's not really
I get
about
it.
The
I
kids.
Get it, pussies, but what the fuck is everyone else doing who works at a Trader Joe's?
Right, but I'm just saying, I think we've let go of the kind of the fib.
Yes,
that it's about
what I'm saying is I'll tell you what. Tell everyone at Trader Joe's they can go home and not get paid and see if they don't start talking about how dangerous it is to go back to the Trader Joe's. Once you stay home and get paid, it's tough. Cut the salary in half, all the administrators, all the teachers, everybody, cut it in half, and then see if their attitude changes. See if they're thinking about getting back to work. I bet there's a change in attitude. That's just me. Hey, sorry, Max Pat, did you have that clip? I had a clip from a few days back, which is, I don't know, it was a CNN clip where they just said to all these pediatric sort of experts or educators or whatever, they're like, would you let your kid go back? Like, what do you think?
Oh, it's MSNBC. Kalen will put it up.
MSNBC. The point is there's a lot of downside to not going to school. There's a lot of people that are struggling a lot, including the aforementioned poor people who like have to go to work and their kids are home and they're latchkeyed and all that shit. It's not... You know, hey, we're teachers. We're not going in until everything's 1,000% safe. Everyone who's involved with this society, cops and firemen and folks who work in grocery markets and folks that work at airports, they're all back to fucking work. there's a risk, but they're all going back to work because we don't want to live in a society that doesn't have stores that are open or airports that are open. Honestly, do you have that, Max Zapata?
Would you let your kids go back to school?
I will. My kids are looking forward to it.
Yes. Period. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As much as I can.
Without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation, yes.
I have no concerns about sending my child to school in the fall.
I would let my kids go back
Top
to school.
Top pediatrician.
Dr. John Torres, NBC News.
And this is MSNBC.
The guy at the desk didn't seem happy about it, but yes, all the experts, I know you didn't want to hear that, but all the experts say they're going to fucking let their kids go back to school. Okay, we're following the science. I thought we were following the science. The science is weighed in. I'm not, look, this thing of like, hey, teachers unions, you need to be 1,000% risk-free before you go back. I don't know. What if you get into a car accident on your way to school? Or what if a fucking kid stabs you in the neck with a pen? Just get the fuck back up and go to work like everyone else is doing. You have an important job, school teachers. Firemen are important. Cops are important. People that work at the Trader Joe's are important. And you too, teachers, have an important job, a necessary job. So go ahead, weigh the risk in, and now go the fuck back to work. Except for you're getting paid in full, and you have a fucking union that doesn't want you to go back to work. They want to keep getting paid full. Okay. Can we sunset their pay? When is school supposed to start? Yeah, well, it starts September 7th. Good. Starting September 8th, your pay gets cut, or we cut it in half, or whatever that is. And then we'll just see if your attitude changes. Fuck. I used to hate teachers, but now I loathe them. They're so fucking
horrible. You've
evolved
your opinion.
I've evolved. I went from hatred to super hatred. My favorite experiment of all time is just being in an auditorium of 1,000 people and just go, raise your hand if you've had a great teacher. And everyone's hand goes up. They go, now keep your hand up if you've had two great teachers. And 3/4 of people drop their hand out of 100 teachers. All right, let me hit Pure Talk USA. I like these guys. I figured out how they work with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. You with any of those, you can switch on over to Pure Talk USA. Use the exact same network as one of those. Same towers, same coverage. Literally, the cost will be in half. So I've heard their commercials, and I was like, how do you do this? And they deal with the same towers and the same companies. Again, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they just cut the price, and you can save half. Keep it in your phone. It's a little SIM card. They send it to you. Same service I had before. Just pop in the SIM card. Half the price. Unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, just $20 a month. The average person saves $400 a year. And put that in your gas tank if you live out here in SoCal. And the customer service is in the U.S., and the CEO is a veteran who understands what it means to serve. It is Pure Talk USA, right, Dawson?
Get unlimited talk, unlimited text, plus 2 gigs of data. All you need to do is grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say keyword Adam Carolla. That's #250 and say Adam Carolla. And when you do, you'll save 50% off your first month.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This shipment includes a bug bite thing to suck out any mosquito bites you get while drinking Mangria in the summer sun. A you can frisbee here frisbee, perfect for tossing at the beaches Newsom won't let you go to. An ACS koozie to keep your beer cold. And most importantly, let people know that this beer is yours. A ready patch for those who get a little rosy from drinking too many cold beers. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Order one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com. The Adam Carolla Show presents Scott Adkins' Birthday Cocktail Party for June 17th. Let's check out the guest list. Oh, it's Kendrick Lamar. And he brought all 13 of his Grammys. Little Miss Sunshine's Greg Kinnear. It's Venus Williams and Will Forte. And straight from the He's Still Alive files, Newt Gingrich. Barry Manilow is here, and it looks like he's ready to take a chance again. Thomas Hayden Church. And 20th century Russian composer, Igor Stravinsky. Now that's a party. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, he canceled, but we had that thing preloaded, and it was so good. I thought, well, fuck it, play it anyway. Got a call here from Nick in Buffalo. I had, let's see. Okay, let me, we had a funny kind of merch situation come up that Chris Maxpata just brought to my attention moments ago. Maxpata, what was the situation?
All right, so anybody who goes on adamcarolla.com, they can order merch. And one of the shirts that we offer is the Don't Do Your Best, Do My Best shirt. And we got a letter from a listener to our support system for the merch store. And she wrote, "Good morning. I hope this finds you well. I hate to be that customer. I received my full order this morning, and I was wondering what I have to do to exchange an item. The t-shirt I bought says, Don't Do Your Best, Do My Best. And then on the back, it's supposed to have the Adam Carolla logo on it. That's not the case. The front is fine. However, the back does not have the logo on it at all." That's what, and then she sent the picture of what actually was sent, and I'll put it on your guys' screen right now. So here's the front.
The front.
Okay, it says, "Don't do your best, do my best."
And we're getting a little buffering with
this background
with the camera.
Absurd.
The filters, the background's hard. Okay,
oh, there it goes.
Don't do your best, do my best.
Right, that's what the front says.
And on the back,
it says,
"Black women glow different."
Well,
you know what, though? We stand by it.
Also, I'm huge in the urban world. So obviously, this is probably a black woman if she's just one of our listeners, because, you know, it stands to reason.
Just playing the odds.
Well, the issue's already been handled. She's been sent the correct shirt, and she sent us this one just so we could laugh at it. Her name's Annie. So thank you, Annie.
Well, that's going to be like one of those record covers, like when the Beatles had one with the young topless girl or something on it, or the dead babies.
No, that was Blind Faith. They had the babies.
Right, yeah. It's long after I'm gone, that'll be worth $1.69.
Yeah, we'll figure out something to do with it.
I've been wanting to tell you guys this story for a long time since I was in Chicago, but I just been sort of had it on the back burner. But so I went to Chicago, and I went to Wisconsin, and had some work. I did some work in Wisconsin at the Snap-on Tool Factory, and then I went back to Chicago. Staying in Chicago, first thing first, staying at a nice hotel. You walk in, and they have a mounted up high forehead heat reader, so a thermostat thing, you know, temperature thermometer, and you just walk in and you step on a line, and the thing from 5 feet away or 3 feet away just reads your forehead. And they do that. It's all the mask and everything. People want to know what's going on in hotels. It's the general. They have spots in the elevator for you to stand. It's not much of a science, but it'll work. And somebody said to me, "Well, what happens if you have a fever? You're coming back. Like, you go out for the night. You're coming back in, and you're reading 101. Like, I live in L.A. How are we going to do this? Anyway, I'm sure they have some protocol. Point is this. We went out on Thursday night to go to Gibson's, which is a great steak place, and it's right in the middle of Chicago, and it's on Rush Street. And Rush Street's just sort of the main drag on.
There's a lot going on there, yeah.
A lot going on a Thursday night, especially everyone's been cooped up. So everyone's in there, and everyone is eating out on the patio and or the sidewalk, because all these places had to improvise and push everyone out. Now, it's not in total fucking lockdown like L.A. is, so there's like the indoor capacity is probably 20, 25%, you know, scattered, people scattered around safely, distancing of the tables. But the patio is kind of crowded, and so are the patios of all the restaurants that are across from Gibson's and up and down the street. So everyone is just pushed out on the street. It's July. It's you know, it's warm outside.
Muggy.
It turned out it was nice. It turned to be nice patio weather. So it's 73 degrees. It's 9 o'clock at night. Everyone's out there having a martini, waiting for their steak to show up. But down Rush Street, the first group, there was just waves of guys. And the first wave were these guys in these like three-wheel Polaris slingshots, these crazies, got two front wheels and one rear wheel, and it's just an open cockpit. I don't know if you guys have seen them. They're like kind of funky, transportation-y thing. A rich man, poor man, traveling on a vehicle with three wheels, because there's a rich version of that, and then there's the sort of Vietnam version of the three-wheel thing. But so these guys are just rolling in these Polaris slingshots. And so first the slingshot group comes, and that's like four guys in slingshots. You know how the groups, it's like motorcycles, they kind of congregate, Japanese car guys. Every single one of them has a highly modified stereo, and they're all up to fucking 11. They're all up to 11. They're all 25-year-old black guys, and they're cruising through. Because there's so much traffic, they're going through it like 3 miles an hour. They're just crawling down the street. Now, obviously, windows are shaking, and everybody out there drinking their martini is fucking, we're going full Ella Fitzgerald on the glasses. But all the white people are out eating and having the martinis, and the brothers are rolling through with the Polaris, and it's fucking cranked up. And obviously, no one can say shit, right? Like, what are you going to do? Like, excuse me, sir. I'm trying to enjoy my steak. They're fucking disturbing the shit out of everybody who's out there eating, because it's just rap music cranked as loud as humanly possible. Like, okay. Then the next wave comes. The next wave are brothers in Jeeps. Now they're the Jeeps with the lift kits and the lights and the shit. And their stereo is even fucking louder. I mean, everyone is, it's like as if you're sitting on the sidewalk eating and a guy's 6 feet away just rolling by at 4 miles an hour with the loudest fucking stereo you've ever heard in your life. No windows, no doors on the Jeep, just coo-coo-coo-coo-coo. But again, everyone who's sitting out there is just basically middle-aged whitey. You know, who's gonna, what are you gonna do, call the cops? Like, what are we to do? Yeah. In this era we're in, right? Then the next group.
Another wave?
Oh yeah. It's not like they're going to Gibson's or anything. They're making passes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just making passes. They're not stopping and eating or going to the bar or anything. They're just
cruising.
Slowly cruising by.
Yeah, this street's like a restaurant row. There are restaurants the entire way down with patio outdoor seating.
The next group comes in. And they're on the big Harleys, but they have the big fairing in front with the stereo and stuff. And they're cranking. And they're throwing revs. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm going out to eat for the first time in a long time. I'm sitting in one of the best steakhouses in the world. I'm trying to have a martini and a conversation. And everyone is just piling by, just throwing revs, cranking the music. All brothers. No one's going to say shit, especially in this climate. So they go by. I'm like, okay, is there anyone else? Now, certain people are making double passes. Like, they're just circling around the block, coming back. Mm-hmm. At the end, we go full Mad Max. Now it's a group of brothers on ATVs. Like,
flamethrowers.
On quads.
Yes, one guy with an electric guitar.
Yeah. No, they're on quads. They're on the quad ATV, what you'd rent at Pismo Beach.
Yeah, are these roadworthy?
No. No, they're not. They're not road legal. There's no license plate. There's no lights. They're fucking paddle tires and knobbies and shit. They're full two-stroke desert runner dirt bikes. Full dirt bikes, like 12 o'clock boys, if you see that doc. It's a great doc.
From Creed, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just throwing revs because now they're two-stroke. It's like, bang, 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 bang. They're riding wheelies. They're riding wheelies. And the good news is the one good thing I could say about the brothers on the quads, if I was to defend them, is no stereo unit on that thing. It's like too small and too off-roading, too whatever. These guys are throwing revs. They're riding wheelies. They're going right down the middle of the street. It's if you took just a full dirt bike and just with no license and no light and no nothing and just said, I'm just going to cruise down Ventura Boulevard at 5 miles an hour. Like, hey, cop, write me a ticket. See how it goes. I bet it's not going to go well for you. Guy's riding a wheelie. Guy rides a wheelie, clips a chick.
No.
Well, because it's crowded and like people are like, they're ignoring the red light and shit. Clips a chick, knocks her over. She's out in the street in front of the Italian place. What was the Italian place? Which is across the
Carmine's.
Street? Carmine's. Carmine's. Yeah, that's how I remember it's an Italian. There's an Italian steakhouse. It's like sort of kitty corner or catty corner, whatever it is, to Gibson's. And people are eating outside there. Knocks her over. She's now been pulled up onto the sidewalk. People are, like, tending to her. The fellas that hit her, they didn't exchange insurance or anything. They just kept going. They just would go.
He didn't stop her and get off the thing.
No. Then an ambulance with sirens, full sirens, just coming down. Now the sirens coming. The guy's got rolling those sirens. Woo, woo. I'm like, this fucking meal get less enjoyable? Fucking ambulance comes sliding in, full scale fire truck with the sirens going, slides in behind that guy. You know, I was thinking to myself, could we delineate the ambulance from the fire truck and the fire truck from the ambulance? I feel like every time the ambulance rolls in, the fire truck comes rolling in behind it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a fire. There's a 43-year-old white chick who got knocked to the ground. Can't the guys in the ambulance, can't the ambulance guys handle that?
I have asked that a million times.
Yes, the ambulance should be able to handle it. However, as my grandfather, who was a fire captain in San Francisco, would tell me long after he was retired, all the firemen always get there first. The firefighters always get there first. When there's 911 call, firefighters always get there first. And they do. There's always a fire truck.
That's true.
Okay, but that doesn't explain why they're there.
He didn't say why. He just gave me the
well,
very
they got there first.
Fact.
They did.
When I had that breathing problem, that attack last year, the EMT showed up and two fire trucks blocked the street. I'll never know.
Those guys want to get out of the house. They've had enough foosball and chili to last them a lifetime. They want to get the fuck out of there. But either way, in this particular case, the ambulance pulled up first. Don't tell Grandpa. God rest his soul. And then the fire truck. So fucking sirens blaring. Now they're pulled up, lights flashing. I mean, it could be nothing could be further from a relaxing night out with steak and a whatever. And
I'm wagging his tail. You're the victim.
I'm sitting on the side that's facing the whole thing. So I was like, I'm Matt. DeAndrea's got his back to Rush, but I'm just watching. It's right. Like, oh, here comes the Polaris guys again. So this person got knocked over. This person got taken to the hospital in the ambulance. And then at the very end, a fucking cop car pulled up to the same spot with the fucking rollers going as well. But there was nothing going there. But all they did was back up traffic and everything. And so I told Max Zapata, call one of those restaurants and like ask them like what went down. Is the chick okay? I was looking for it. I couldn't find anything in the newspaper about it or anything. Kind of looking online a little bit, and they were like, yeah, people come up and down the street, and yeah, sometimes people get knocked over, and yeah, those guys ride the quads, and everyone's just kind of like, yeah, what are you going to do? But I thought, this is a pretty good example of what people do, even non-criminals, just what people do when the law says, we're just going to kind of bow out for a while here, like, we're going to clear out. Just, you know, we got bigger fish to fry. Like, how fast would you drive if there was no radar guns and no cops and no tickets? Like, what would you do? Everyone would go 25 miles an hour faster on the freeways or wherever.
Yeah, between riots and pandemics, I think we can all answer that. When there's nobody on the freeway, we were all doing 100.
Right. So this is my little experiment, my little slice of life, that when you take the cops and you pull them out, or you take a culture and you go, okay, we're not going to fuck with the brothers anymore. Like, not for this shit. Like, I don't want to pull this guy over in the in the quad runner and have a bunch of people filming me and fucking yelling at me and shit. Like, when you back out of that, the first person that understands it is the person that wants to ride their quad in the middle of the fucking street and wheelie over a chick. Like, that, they're the first group that get the hint. They understand it. And there shall be more of this, because there's nothing different about that Thursday night than a Thursday night a year ago when it probably wasn't happening, other than the cops. You know, the cops aren't coming. Yeah. And also, another group of citizens are going to buy a fucking gun and have it ready for their home, because they also know the cops may not be coming. You will shape behavior by this message of we're going to scale this back. It'll shape behavior on the bad guy side. It'll shape behavior on the good guy side, too. The folks you don't want doing what they're doing, they shall be doing that. Sorry, Max Pata.
Yeah, Adam also had me look into the police scanners and all the feeds of the police scanners trying to find the story of this. And I didn't find it, but, man, on a Thursday night, do not – or just any – the police scanners are just horrific. Like, the stories that I was reading, just scanning through what happened on that Thursday night – was truly disturbing.
It's like nun raped, a nun was another. You can rape a priest. I guess you can.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. A 4-year-old shot in crib, 4-year-old shot in bouncy castle, 4-year-old shot in park.
Like, yeah, and they tell you where they were shot, like what part of the body. It was tough.
Mm. Well, anyway.
So there's no way this would have made it.
Well, interesting. Keep your eye on all those places that are peeling it back. But I got a real first. I got a front row seat to, like, when the cops pull out, how folks act. All right, you're going to say something, or I got a audio clip to play for you guys.
You have some phone calls too.
Oh, we got some phone calls. Sorry.
And at some point, if it's possible, I have a I have to beg people for a quick charity thing.
Yes. On your
Can
own
I do
time,
that real quick?
On your own time, during your own
Thank
time.
You very much.
Nick, 35, Buffalo, right after Nick from Buffalo, New York.
There again.
Nick?
Ace man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for all your common sense and wisdom. There's only a few of us left.
Thank you for including me with you.
What do you think about all the NFL players opting out this season?
I'm a little confused by it. Your health stuff is kind of your choice, but I can also judge. I think these guys are super healthy and super fit, and it doesn't seem to be affecting really healthy people the way it's affecting elderly people or compromised people. And so, you know, a lot of these guys, first off, every time you have an NFL season, you always hear about so-and-so is not starting because he's got the flu or something like that. So people do get sick. They also get a lot of infections and rashes and, what do they call that? Staph infections.
Staph.
They get a lot of staph because they're skinned up playing on the turf and rubbing on each other and stuff like that. I don't know. The average age of these guys is 26, right? And their body fat is 4%. Like, it feels
weird. It's not
weird
about
to
them.
Me. What is
the
it
reasons?
About?
A lot of the reasons they're giving is their mom has, you know, comorbidities. Their wife is pregnant. Their wife has an autoimmune.
I get the mama. And what about dad? All right. Anyway, I get the mama with the comorbidity. That's something. Or the wife is pregnant.
No one's really stepping forward and being like, I'm not comfortable. They're really putting the ladies front and center.
Blame it on the biatches. Yeah. I don't know what it does with the pregnant wife. Thing. I've not heard anything about that. Anyway, I would tend to think that with a lot of the technology that is coming online very quickly, and a lot of these like protocols with the zinc and the other the hydroxychloroquine, there's a few other things that are now proving pretty promising, and things could be taken prophylactically. A month and a half from now, they could be doing it, but that's their decision. I don't know. Do they still get paid? I think they're going to get paid, right?
Because so.
Otherwise, that's a lawsuit. Yeah. All right. I'm trying to think of what if there's some A-listers that are on that list. I know there's some guys who start, maybe guys who start on the defensive side of the ball. But are there any like big name, you know, household name kids buying their jersey kind of guys?
Marquise Goodwin is probably the biggest name, and that's not even a, I wouldn't call it a household name in the NFL. There was an offensive lineman who I think is pretty prominent, but again, offensive lineman, who announced today he's skipping the season, and he put a lot of the onus on the fact that his son or his young child is has like battling cancer. And I guess that speaks to the point that whether, you know, these are young, healthy guys who probably, if they get it, let's say, God forbid, they'll probably be fine ultimately, but you're carrying it regardless, just like a 50-year-old would, just like an anyone would. So if you bring it home to your son who has cancer or a baby who hasn't gotten their shots yet, I mean, that's something to be concerned about.
All right. Well, they can make their own decisions. The good news is Hard Knocks training camp is coming back soon, and I am pre-tumescent.
They're doing two teams, right?
The Chargers and the Rams. Yes, pre-tumescent for that coming.
They've already done the Rams, right?
Yeah, they did the Rams, I think, a couple of years ago when Fisher showed up.
Back when Fisher was there.
Yeah, Fisher with the fucking glasses that break in half and hang around his neck.
Yeah.
What's your what charity, Gina?
Thank you. So I'm sorry to spring this on you, but just figured might as well wedge it in. So, you know, twice a year, I not only beg people for stuff, but I host this really, really fun graduation ceremony for kids at the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. And of course, for the first time, it's online. So instead of getting to, you know, play with all the kids and do all this stuff, they're all doing it on Zoom. So I feel that this year, it's even more important that when they drive up for their graduation to get their little diploma and certificate and their goodie bags, that these goodie bags are really, really spectacular. All I ask is there's 10 kids. They range from 7 to 13. They're boys. This is a child self-esteem camp because these kids have a lot of illnesses. They deal with how to talk to bullies if you're being bullied about your illness, how to look people in the eye confidently, tell them what your illness is, and then move on. They do arts. They do crafts. They do music. They do all these cool things through the Art of Elysium, which is what reminded me talking about Elysium. So, so this is literally just 10 items, new items that are all the same that you think boys would like. It could be anything. It could be party favors. It could be soccer balls. It could be a $10 gift card from Amazon, socks, sunglasses, anything that you think they would have a good time with.
How about black women glow different t-shirts?
But we're going to need 9 more of those. So if you will just go to my Twitter page, it is pinned to the top. All of the information is there. It's at Gina Grad, and a little blurb about what they do over there is on top, as well as the address. If everything can be sent by August 7th, that would be great, because that'll give them a couple of days to sort everything before they hand out all the goodie bags. Also, not only have these kids been through the ringer in their short, tiny little lives more than anyone I know, but I've been to all of these graduations for the boys and the girls. There's big families. And I can tell you that if you are spending all of whatever money you have on your child because they have some sort of disfigurement, the brother or sister is going without. So when they get these big bags full of fun stuff, then it's like Christmas. The brother gets to have some stuff and the sisters get excited and everybody gets something. So you can contact me directly. Just go to my Twitter. It's pinned to the top. Thank you so much in advance.
Thank you for being a saint, Gina Grad.
My pleasure.
All right. We got a little clip from my audiobook that Dawson pulled out, which you can get wherever you get audiobooks. What is the clip, Dawson?
This clip kind of describes the inherent irony in you testifying before Congress. And you make you notice the differences between the people sitting around you and you yourself. Well, that's kind of fun.
The congressional hearing room was stately. There was a lot of clean blue carpet and polished white marble, and there were a lot of oil paintings of dead guys. As soon as I got to the hearing room and looked at the murderer's row of intellectuals, I somehow found myself in company with Ben Shapiro, New York University law school professors, college presidents. My shitty student habits kicked into overdrive. I asked who was going first because I didn't want it to be me. I needed some time to cram and thought if one or two of these other blowhards went first, I could scribble down some notes and skate through. We sat down at the big mahogany desk with the nameplates, microphones, and water glasses. There were congressmen on the dais and witnesses in the chamber. This was real. This was on C-SPAN. I looked over at Ben Shapiro, who was sitting next to me. He had 5.5 typewritten, all caps, single-spaced pages. You could tell he had rehearsed. It was a minute a page. He was locked and loaded and ready to go. But technically, he had next to nothing. Because he was next to me, and I had nothing. The chick to my left from NYU Law had her stuff completely prepared in a neat leather binder. Meanwhile, I was looking down at a well-worn steno pad with a handful of words like children, future, law, order, Purell, Chicano, Dr. Drew, and gravity misspelled with arrows, numbers, and crossouts. It looked like a Chinese roadmap. Following Ben Shapiro in congressional testimony is like following an Indian kid in a spelling bee. By the way, roll on this, Dawson. How relieved would you be if somebody said, Dawson, you've got to follow an Indian kid in a spelling bee. And then they paused and went, American Indian. How relieved. You'd just be like, oh, thank God.
Dodged a bullet.
I spelled box with three X's last week. Woo. All right. Here we go. A little sidebar with Dawson over there.
Well, bonus content.
That's why you got to get the audiobook.
Yeah, we would just sit in this building alone, like on a Saturday, and sometimes hour number four, I'd get a little punchy. You know what I mean? Just look at Dawson through the glass. All right, let me hit Simply Safe. Most home security companies trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. There's only one Simply Safe. It's a no-brainer. It's two eyes in there, by the way. Simply Safe. Everything to protect your home, an arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, and door, tailored specifically to you and your home. Professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, medical professionals. Set it up in under an hour. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No technician required. No contracts, pushy sales guys, hidden fees, or fine print. Starts at just $15 a month. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security system of 2020. Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know our show sent you.
San Antonio this weekend, Ben Shapiro is going to be up with us doing the live pod on Friday. And then Greg Gutfeld will be on Saturday. So there's probably a few of those tickets left. San Antonio, laugh out loud. And then I'm doing stand-up after that. And before that, Mike August is going to get a smoothie. And I'm going to get a goddamn haircut. I don't know why I'm obsessed. I talked to I saw Matt D'Andrea earlier today, and he got his haircut. And I was like, "Hey, how'd you get a haircut?" And he's like, "Well, my guy, he opens the shop, but he keeps the curtains down. You know, keeps it dark in there. You know,
speakeasy.
And then I go in the back way, and then there's a woman there who's posing as a, and it's like, yeah." To get a fucking haircut. Just to get a haircut. You need a secret handshake to get a fucking haircut. It's driving me insane. They implemented all the rules of how you get a haircut, and everyone did it. Olga, my nanny now, Olga, because my kids are too old to have a nanny, Emmy's wife and her daughter, Paola, cuts hair, bought all the shit they told her to buy, all the thermometers and gloves and all the masks. She bought all that shit, and now she's shut down. Can't fucking go to work. It's weird. You know, it's funny. I was saying to Dr. Drew the other day, it's like the founding fathers, when these guys were drafting all these documents and constitutions and whatnot that make this country, they're always worried about tyrannical dictators, and they were worried about other powers coming in with armadas and stuff and taking, they didn't want this. They didn't want too much power on the legislative side or the state side or the right. They're trying to figure out the balance, but they never saw dumb people running cities. That they didn't. They were looking for like evil. You know what I mean? Like they like he's
evil
gonna
genius.
Yeah, like Garcetti's gonna shut all the salons and then he's gonna buy up all the real estate cheap and then said no, he's just dumb. We just have fucking dumb power drunk assholes running California. We're not there's not anything behind it. I wish there was something behind it. Maybe a run for president or something in Gavin Newsom's case. But the founding fathers could have never anticipated dumb with no agenda. That there's nothing you can craft in a document that says a fucking dumb guy who thinks like a middle-aged broad is going to take control of the seventh biggest economy in the world and run it into the ground. And the founding fathers would keep going, what's his angle? But what's his angle? He's going to enrich himself. His son's going to take over. No. He's just an asshole. Doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And now we're all being punished. And it's like, is he going to make a gulag? Is he going to run people off to death camps? Is he going to collect all their money? It's like, he's going to build himself up.
Oh, no, he's going to send them money.
He's going to get a golden train. Like, what's he going to do? It's like, no, just a dumb guy who likes fucking power and is fucking stupid. He's going to run the economy into the fucking ground for no good reason. I would love to sit down with the founding fathers and explain, go ahead and ride around this guy. How are you going to prevent us from electing dumb people if fucking run everything into the fucking ground? All right. Anyway, I'm getting a haircut in San Antonio. Look out, man. And Mike's getting a smoothie. All right. We're going to take ourselves a quick break, and then we'll come right back with the news right after this.